Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Greetings from the year 3000. It still sucks. It's courage when you have a gun.
You need an autograph? What about Zoidberg? Why not Zoidberg? No, nobody loves Zoidberg. That's the problem. They don't love him because they only care about the stupid fryer, that robot.
This week on Radio Labyrinth, it is the 25th anniversary of Adult Swim, and Robot Chicken put together an awesome special with a lot of characters. Ozzy Osbourne is getting a haunted house at Universal Studios, and Billy West returns to the show. Yes, the great voiceover artist Billy West talks about the new season of Futurama and his brand new book, Jeff.
Voice and Versa.
We have a guest this week. We talked about it last week, and we have him this week. Returning to our show, our very big show, is the very, very funny and very talented and a hero of mine, a hero of all of ours, Billy West. You know Billy West? You can know him from the radio. He was a voice guy on the classic era of broadcast radio with Stern. And, of course, Futurama and Ren and Stimpy. And am I leaving anything out? He's super. And all the great Warner Brothers character voices he did over the years. You know him. You love him. It's Billy West. Welcome to the show. We're going to talk about the book. We're going to talk about Futurama. And thank you for coming on again. But I was watching Wizard of Oz with my 5-year-old son, Gilbert, a couple of weeks ago. And he's asking way too many questions and he's scared. But you get to that one point where, what is that line that the, hey, knock it off?
They were picking apples in an orchard and it's filled with bad trees to talk. And take an apple off of his branch and he goes, put that back. I said, put that back, put it back. How would you like somebody picking apples off of you?
And you used to tell a story. Didn't you live next to one of the little people at one point?
Yes, I did. I think his name was Meinhard, but there's another guy that someone mentioned a name, and it could have been him, but this guy wore a black cowboy hat, and he had a jet black mustache. And I drove up the street, and I saw him trying to get his mail out of the mailbox. He was reaching up to pull the lid, you know, and I just went, put that back. and he just looked at me like, what are you, an asshole? Hey, what are you, an asshole?
Talk about the book, Jeff. Get the title.
Yeah, it's called Voice of Versa. It came out last week. I'm listening to the audiobook narrated by Billy. He had a pretty rough childhood. He's made it through and become a huge success.
Well, in a way, I have to look. I have to thank all of those situations. So I never would have overcome anything. You know, I mean, I narrated the book in my plain, vanilla, unvarnished voice because that's how I talk. I never used that. It was very hard for me to read like that because I would lose my voice. It was psychosomatic. Because when I was a kid, whenever I went to say something, I used to get a smack in the head or in the mouth. And so I would lose my voice. And what I had to learn how to do just so I could communicate was speak over it and assume these powerful, you know, vocalizations that I had no idea that I could do. And that was the way I communicated. But it's so funny. I mean, it's like they call it a vocal dysphoria, I think.
Vocal dysphoria is what? The ability to, or that you lose?
Yeah, losing it. I mean, I used to go around with a jar of hot water with salt in it and drink it before I went to go say something to my friends. I mean, I'm not kidding. It was murder. But then if I was doing somebody from television or a movie, or I went to the movies and stayed in the movies for, you know, watched the double feature twice in a row so I could come home, like after my dad passed out, I would be reciting lines from movies all the way home and I would have no trouble, you know. It didn't matter what it was. It's like I just said that I want to live in that world. It's a safe world and I have control over it. And but when I go home, all is lost. So, yeah.
In escaping into those characters.
Yes. And all my friends in the entire world lived in a little box in the living room in the corner. And back in those days, there were three channels and they were all black and white. And television went off at 11 o'clock at night. And then it would come back on at 6 in the morning. And but the thing about guys like me that or women that grew up in that era, I think one of the reasons we became superlatives ultimately was because we had this longing to be part of something or to hang on to something as long as we could when we saw it. You'd see the coolest thing you ever saw in your life and you'd start panicking because you knew in 5 minutes it was going to be gone and you'd never ever see it again. There was no way to know. A lot of shows that were broadcast live, like comedy shows that were on at night, you'd never see them again. They never repeated those. But meanwhile, I would just hang on to it for dear life. And then a lot of artists I know would just try to imagine what it was they just saw. And I would imagine what it was that I just heard. And I'd walk around trying to do it just to recapture it for my own enjoyment.
Yeah, we used to use a tape recorder to record the TV set. Before VCRs were invented.
Last MASH on Goodbye, Farewell, Amen. I had on three cassette tapes. I recorded it off the TV. Ridiculous.
Well, they had reel-to-reel, tiny ones, reel-to-reel tape recorders when transistors were invented. And this was 1966, and I used to tape dialogue off of television. And I'd go to bed listening to it until that oxide tape just fell apart. You know, it was worn out. And I'd go to the movie theaters with the damn tape recorder and record music cues.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was a musician and there was just stuff I wanted to hear so badly and I had no access to anything.
To me, I look up to you in a way that maybe you looked up to Mel Blanc or Paul Frees. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I just never spent much time thinking of that kind of stuff because it plays into the I wonder what people think about me thing.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and I never stopped to look to either side. I was like point A to point B. I never looked back when I was doing something and then I was gone. I never looked back. I the same with the Stern Show. You know, I walked out of there in 1995 and I never heard the show ever again. And wow. So when people are saying, hey, remember this, remember that? And I'm like, no, I don't.
Well, because fans love it so much and they love like they love The Simpsons or Ren and Stimpy or The Sopranos. They just watch it or listen over and over again. And
yes. Well, I always did with my stuff, the people that I idolized. I know what you're saying, though, about how, I guess me and my contemporaries like Tom Kenny and et cetera, we have all these people that followed what we did, and some of them know more about you than you do. Yeah. When I go to these Comic Cons, and I was the first voiceover to ever do a Comic Con when there was only three of them in the world, and they were like, at first they were like, "What do we need with somebody that does, you know, cartoon voices?" And then they saw the lines going out the door. There were people. There was legions of people that were into this, yes. And I was shocked. I was surprised, and. You know, I've always been grateful. Now there must be 700 shows in the world.
Yeah, but there's not 700 of you. I'm old, and we had him when I do tell. and one of the first pictures I ever took of him is. He's in the back. I'm taking him home. We're taking him home from the hospital. And I did this so my wife doesn't see it. And I had Gilbert's book, whatever Gilbert's book was, the joke book that he put out a couple years ago or years ago. And I put it right next to him in his car seat as he's coming home from the hospital. And I tagged Gilbert in it on Instagram and I got a like and that made me happy.
I miss Gilbert very much. I was friends with him, and I had known him for like 30-something years. And when we used to get together, we used to have so much fun because I got him. Mm-hmm. You know, I got him totally, and he got me. I mean, he had me on his show like 4 times, and I was thrilled to death. I was saying, I wonder what Gilbert gets out of having me around. You know I enjoy him, but he apparently really enjoyed it. You talk about periphery, you know, showbiz periphery and things that are, you know, talk about deep dives and rabbit holes. Yeah. Stuff that no one cares about or knows about. we could prattle on for hours.
Well, I do that on the radio show that I'm on 5 days a week. You know, the host will be talking about something and I'll throw out a bizarre reference, or I'll throw out a character that, or a famous person that no one's heard about in 30 years. And my boss, one person got that, and then we'll go to break. But that's, it makes me, you know, I don't do it all the time, but just once or twice, and it makes it fun, you know.
Well, how deep of a dive? I mean, you go back to like the 50s and 40s?
Yeah, well, maybe not so much that, but 60s and 70s for sure. Like I'll do Orson Welles, Paul Lynde, and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And who I'm talking about, but some of the younger people in the audience probably don't. I go, but if they're listening to us, they know, because they grew up the same way we did. So
yes,
you're keeping that stuff alive.
Yeah, that's why I liked Gilbert's show so much, is because it kept all that stuff alive. And we had Frank on here. It was like, listen, you know, that's what's important, is to keep that stuff alive. You look at culture now, and there's a million different things, and what's going to be talked about 20 years from now? Who knows? Probably the stuff
you'll be talked about. Somebody will video this podcast of yours and then have them in a little box in the corner agreeing with you and saying, if you like my content.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they'll get way more views than us on our original video.
Yeah. Isn't that kill you?
Yeah.
It's a kick in the ass. I love it. Something, an inanimate object that I've been working with for the better part of 50 years has suddenly become so fetishized. Everybody has a microphone. The 14-year-old girl up the street has a podcast and a microphone that lights up. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Yeah. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Go fund me. Go F me. You know. Patreon. Go daddy. You know, it's just begging for money and saying, hey, guys. And I just love it. But she has an audience, and it's... I wrote that in my book. I had a cartoon that you know, Howard said to me, what's Billy talking about, Robin? And I said, I had a dream that everybody in the world had a microphone and a show and an audience, and they were really young, and we were really old.
I did him on the show, and people got mad at me.
Why?
Because they were saying, well, you know, people are allowed to get old and this is when he interviewed Kamala Harris. So I did, though.
So tell us, when you were in camp, did you take off your clothes? Did you tell me all about it? No. Was it your dad?
And I do the later, you know, then I have to do this. I have to cheat a little bit because I can't do that. I can't do the old. People are like, oh, you know, yelling at me and stuff.
Oh, wow.
But I don't care.
What do you speak up? Yeah. What do you do? You ever do it with a black guy? What are you, a B cup or a C cup?
All that stuff he's forgotten about.
I mean, you have to reinvent yourself at some point. I just think that, I don't know, he was one of the most creative people that I had worked with at the time. You know, he was fearless. That's what I really liked about him. He was fearless, and there was nothing he wouldn't try. And if we had an idea for something, we'd just all jump on it in real time every morning. And, it was like an avalanche of laughs. I used to come out of there holding myself like, oh, my God, I feel like I've been in a 12-round fight being punched in the stomach because I was laughing so hard.
And all improvised for the most part, right? Like,
yeah, mostly. There's all these militant horseflies, my brother calls them, on the internet that are like, you know, yeah, Billy's not funny on his own. Listen to him bomb when Jackie and Fred are writing lines for him. Yeah, they can write that fast, you know? Jackie and Fred made him funny. The show made him funny. Okay, whatever.
Maybe I couldn't back then, but I could tell when I'm listening to it now. I can tell when you're improvising. And that's always funnier than what you said that was scripted for you.
Well, You can tell because Howard gets mad.
No, all right, he's thrown off. Yeah. All right.
What's he talking about? All right, another bad joke. You know, it always had to take me down a peg. Always had to fade me.
How was your Comic-Con?
Oh, it was beautiful. We did a panel on Saturday morning. Excuse me, 10:30 in the morning, and we walked out there, and there was like over 4,800 people sitting there, and it was just great. We read an episode from the new batch of shows, the new season that's coming out on August 3rd. We read part of the episode, you know, as a teaser, but it was just so great. I mean, that enthusiasm from the crowd, and it never went away. I'm thinking back to when we first got out of production the first time, got canceled the first time. People, there was no big internet surge of a force, you know, trying to get corporate America to do anything. And they would have letter writing campaigns, and they'd say, bring that damn show back. And I guess it was so overwhelming that they actually did. And then it became digital, and, you know, people could articulate how they felt immediately, and they'd get overwhelmed with that whenever they took the show off. And I used to say, you know, it's a show that's too good to not be on television. And most people agreed, and we felt that, you know. And I always just come out and start doing the characters from the show. Like, greetings from the year 3000. It still sucks. What's courage when you have a gun? You need an autograph? What about Zoidberg? Why not Zoidberg? No, nobody loves Zoidberg. That's the problem. They don't love him because they only care about the stupid fry or that robot. And then it was... Kev, inform the men. I made it with a woman. Nah. And then, you know, I was doing Nixon. I want to be president of the United States because
you added that to that Nixon character, and I've heard people do it after that, but you were the first to add that affectation at the end of it.
Well, I did it because a perfect Nixon impression is about as funny as a bathroom in a laxative factory. You know, what perfect impression? Then what? You know? Oh, yeah. Oh, good boy, good boy. You're perfect parrot. You have to bring some kind of right hook to it, otherwise it just lays there and dies. And my right hook, just I came by it honestly, is in the 60s. In 1962, I think it was, me and my mom were watching the presidential debate. It was the first televised presidential debate between Nixon and Kennedy. And Kennedy looked like a game show host. He really, I mean, he was shot in soft focus, and he had that buttered toast hair and an ultra bright smile and, you know, gleam in his eye. And he was there. We have to go to the moon, you know, and just like a matinee idol. And then Nixon, Kennedy's people told the camera crews do extreme close-ups on Nixon. And that just showed everything. He could see the hair growing out of his pores on his nose, you know, and his 5 o'clock shadow was coming in at 2:15. And his hair was all matted, and he was sweaty, and he was a mess. And when he started, you know, trying to rebut Kennedy, I said, Mom, he really looks like he's going to turn into a werewolf. And that's where I had this idea in my head that he would just suddenly, all right, whatever you do, whatever you hear behind that door, just keep it locked. Don't let me out. Don't let me out when the moon comes out. And that's why I want to be president of the United States. You know, and that bastard drafted me in 1970. So that's another reason to hate him. I was going to Vietnam, and I had to go do all the physicals in downtown Boston to a Navy base. And they would, you know, the hearing test, the eye test, this, that, and the other thing. And they determined that I had the flattest feet that anybody ever saw. And I had hypertension, high blood pressure. So I was classified 4F. But to this very day, in the Nixon library, they play a continuous loop of all the Nixon stuff I did on Futurama.
Really? The irony. So
I won! Nixon!
Wow.
And also, it was announced that Futurama has gotten picked up for another season beyond this one that's about to start.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so thrilled. I know what I'll be doing for a couple years. That's an amazing thing, you know?
That's great.
If you told me I'd be working at 74 years old, I would have told you, yeah, I'd rocks in your head.
It's great, though. I mean, you're still alive. You're still breathing. You're still happy. You're able to do it. Look at Mick Jagger. He's in his 80s, and he's still... Do you hear that new album? Have you heard it? Do you like the Stones?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't heard the new album yet.
It sounds like it was recorded in 1978 or even before that a little bit. It's the production's great, but they don't sound old. I mean, he's the same age as Joe Biden, and he's putting out an album that kicks ass. And you know,
well, I think performers tend to channel the playful side of themselves. In other words, as soon as you stop playing like a child, or being able to live that wonderment and that excitement and discovery as if you were a child, that's the day you turn into an old dried up fig, you know, you become old.
Yeah.
And you keep working. I learned that a long time ago when I was like 19, running around Boston, playing rock and roll music. And I'd go in a grocery store and I see an old guy bagging groceries. And I say, why does that old geezer, why does he want to bag groceries? Why didn't he just go fishing? You know, he's obviously done with work and everything. He's probably got a little money. And it wasn't about any of those things. It was what I learned as I got older was you really, the minute the phone stops ringing or there's no knocks on the door, your friends start dying and nobody needs you for anything, that's the day that you kind of drop dead. Mm-hmm. And every old geezer understands that. So I'll keep working until they tell me don't come in anymore. Or if they don't do any more seasons after the next one, I just want to be an old Irish guy sitting next to an old Irish river with an old Irish dog and a young Irish nurse.
So the characters that you do on Futurama, can you tell how Zoidberg came to be?
I went into that audition and I walked in and there was, it was like 150 people just sitting there. And I looked around and I saw all kinds of actors and actresses. And I saw, who did I see? Ryan Stiles.
Oh.
And I said, oh, Christ, he's going to mop the floor with this audition. I'm getting the F out of here. and then something said, stay, try it, sit, you know. And I went in. And I was supposed to read for Professor Hubert Farnsworth, was a 147-year-old scientist who, since he was that old, I figured that he might have some sort of jittery countenance and crotchety and, you know, a combination of mad scientists and wizards and, you know, all that kind of old magicians and... you know, and he was that old, he probably farted dust, you know, so I just thought old, like a mummy. And I did have an audition for that. And then they said, you want to do this one? And they showed me a picture of Zoidberg. And I just went with my gut on everything that day. Sometimes you can think yourself right out of business. Like I said, I wonder if I should do it the exact opposite of what he looks like with a real high voice and, you know, slightly femme or so, anything that would get a laugh. And then I said, no, don't do that. And I went with his portly appearance, you know, his voice would be low. And then he had all this cool meat hanging off his face. And I said, well, his speech would probably be impaired a little. And I thought of all the marble mouth actors in showbiz periphery that I could think of. One of them was Lou Jacoby from Yiddish Theater. He was in the movie Arthur. And he leaned in to Dudley Moore and said, what's it like to have all that money? You know, and then there was another guy who was in vaudeville. For people that don't know what that is, it was before television was invented. And you could go to the movie theater and watch 12 live acts all day into the evening. And they were jugglers and singers and comedians and dancers and just variety, one after the other. And there was a host of ceremonies, master ceremony, and his name was George Jessel, and he had kind of a marble mouth. He would say, you know the definition of a smart ass? A fellow that can sit on an ice cream cone and tell you what flavor it is. You know, so I fused the two of those guys and came up with a voice for Zoidberg with all the Yiddishisms and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, because he was Zoidberg, you know. I know he's from Decapod 10 or something like that, but I said he might as well be from Jupiter.
One thing I wanted to ask, I just saw DiMaggio at Fanboy Expo in Knoxville.
Yes.
And somebody asked him if, he was holding out for the new seasons of Futurama, if there was any talk of replacing him, like had happened with Tracy Morgan on Squidbillies.
Yes.
And he didn't say that, but he said he thought it would be funny if Tracy Morgan did Bender.
Oh, yeah. Well, Johnny's a funny guy. I mean, he's real, real funny. He was a comic. That's where he started. Now he's having all kinds of, I think he got a series regular part on a new show, and I can't remember the name of it. I got to go look it up so I can watch him. And, you know, and he spends a lot of time in New York now. So we saw him yesterday. We were recording yesterday, and it was good to see him. And then he had to get on a plane last night and go back home. But, you know, at least we get to work ensemble mostly. I sit with the other people, Maurice LaMarche and Phil LaMarche, Dave Herman.
Yeah, Beth McNeil, I wondered if you guys
Lauren Thomas.
Everybody was doing it from home now, or you all got together?
No, during the pandemic, we had to work like that. We had to, put together some kind of studio out of spit and glue in our houses and, you know, and hope that would do the trick. And it had to, because we couldn't go into a studio. Then when we went back, I didn't want to work alone, and I didn't like working out of my house by myself. I liked being my peers, you know. I mean, they up your game because everybody's a superlative.
That whole room experience, you get more out of it. You can hear more out of it.
Yes.
That way.
Well, we're, you know, the riffing never stops. I mean, even though you're not recording, we're just like whatever happened in the Senate that day is suddenly being discussed in the most, you know, bizarro manner.
Yeah.
With our take on it and anything else that's, you know, out there. You know, it'd be interesting to listen to the tape that's not being aired. It would probably be very funny to listen to.
Sure.
I'm doing just fine, Billy. I'm sitting here in the hospital with my wife, and my brain is fine, and I'll be back in the Senate in no time.
You sound just like him. It's great. You got that old rickety wobble in there.
I do it on the radio show. I said, today I'm fine. I went water skiing yesterday, and I'm going to be going. My wife and I are going to go skydiving, and then I'll be back in the Senate next week. I promise you. And
everybody I do dies. So I did Lindsey Graham on the show. Can't do him anymore because he died.
Why not?
Oh, I still do him. I don't care.
Of course, I'm gay for war.
I love missiles. There's nothing better than missiles for Israel.
Yeah. Who did he think he was fooling?
Nobody.
You know, and the stories, the people that spent time, the people you never heard about that spent time with him that he paid for will be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they'll be deported.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think they'll ever release the Ren and Stimpy's?
Let's see. I recorded a whole season of them like a couple years ago and, fully produced. They even had J.K. Simmons on as a guest, you know, we were ripping it up and, I was screaming and yelling like I did 31 years ago. And then some schmo put it online and that was the end of it. They shelved it. But I did hear that it's out there somewhere. Episodically, and I just don't know where. I don't know where to find it. But I heard someone talking about it. I've seen little clips from it. I want to see it to know if it's good or if it sucks.
What a cast. What a cast. You had Sam Richardson, who's very funny. James Adomian, Amy Sedaris.
Yes, we had. We also had Deborah Wilson. She's a voiceover powerhouse.
What is
yeah,
she?
Yeah, really good.
Where did I see her first? Mad TV.
Mad TV.
Yeah. I loved working with her. Let's see. Yeah, you know, it's out there somewhere. And who knows? You know, you never know what plans go on behind closed doors. You know, they might very well just say, oh, well, let's go into production again and try it again. You know, I mean, it's so willy-nilly. It's so toss of a coin.
Two of the episodes aired in France, and that's it. Aired in France.
Yeah, right. Chantezon de Charles de Clapman.
Je regarde or Tour de Moi. We had the same textbook, I think.
Voulez-vous Jean- coucher avec moi ce soir? You.
Well, guys, we've had Billy on for quite a while. He probably has a lot of work to do.
Yeah, the new season of Futurama starts on August 3rd.
Yes.
On Hulu. And Billy's book is available everywhere you get your fine books and audiobooks.
Yes. I want to thank you for that. And I actually had a panel at Comic-Con for my book. After I did the Futurama panel, the next day on Sunday morning, I had to do my own panel, and it was a room, but the thing was it held 1500 people and it was packed, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. You know, I don't have any sense of entitlement. I never, you know, it's like this kind of thing is, well, you know, because you're doing it yourself, is that you don't choose it, it chooses you. You know, it just comes along one day and goes, you're going this way, sorry. And I never wanted to be a celebrity. Celebrities aren't my heroes, you know. My heroes are artists, you know, sculptors, painters, people, frontline workers, people that cure diseases. But if you make people laugh, I think that's a noble second place because it's a healer. But yeah, and I didn't think you could ever make any money. That, you know, that was like a wild, faraway, nebulous dream. So, I mean, I came for, you know, the purest reasons. I wanted to be a contributor. I was dying to contribute. And, you know, hopefully if I was involved with something, I could make it better than it was.
Yeah, for sure.
You've definitely done that.
And I know it's uncomfortable to be told that, you know, someone looks up to you or maybe that you're a hero or something. But for the guys like me who pretty much grew up an only child with the angry mom, yelled all the time because she didn't have work. I would hide and then I listening to say you on the radio or even before that, watching those shows at night, watching The Odd Couple by myself and then talking to Jeff about the shows. We grew up in the same town. Having those little things that keep you laughing through life, those are the things that kept me going. And so that's, you know, why I keep going back to comfort, like listening to your old interviews or your old bits, and you making Gilbert laugh makes me laugh, and him making you laugh makes me laugh. So that's
I'm so honored that you said that. I'm so moved that you came out of it like that. Things that helped you survive, things that made you happy. It's so important. I mean, that was my whole story. These people saved my lives. My life. I'm talking for all the other characters. No, I mean, Mel Blanc and June Foray and Dawes Butler, Don Messick. I named them all in my book. And I've actually worked with some of my heroes, not just met them. And Sid Caesar was a big influence on me. He was a comedian in the 50s who had a weekly show live.
And yeah, your shows.
Your show of shows. And he had the most profound effect on me. And I thought about that stuff day and night when I was in school, because there was no word for autism in the 50s. You know, there was no word for neurodivergence. And I didn't know how to do anything. I couldn't even tie my shoes. I still can't. But ask me to do a fucking Fran Drescher impression. That's autism.
Oh, young people on in the union. Oh.
Well, Billy, thank you again for taking time and hanging out with us.
Yeah. We'll talk again, I'm sure, huh?
Yeah, please, anytime.
Thanks, thank you, Billy. Guys.
Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by the Punchline Comedy Club in Sandy Springs, Georgia, tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner. The Punchline is Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub. Get yourself a nice meal, have a couple of drinks, make sure you tip your wait staff, and satisfy any cravings you have while you are laughing. This weekend, tonight, as a matter of fact, Heather Shaw, who is very funny. She looks like Jim Carrey, but that is really apropos to nothing. She's a very funny comedian. You can hear an interview with her wherever you find your podcasts. Look for The Sunday Show with Tim Andrews and George Clark as we talk to her. August 5th, you got Jay Lawrence. It's August 6th, Ava Evans. 7th through the 9th, Carlos Mencia returns to the Punchline. August 9th, Jay Yoder. And August 13th, Maddie Mays. If you want tickets and you're a Patreon member, just send me a message and we'll hook you up. You don't have to do it on Patreon. You can just send it directly to me. Most of you are following me. For tickets and information, go to punchline.com. Hey, Lizzie is out again this week. She is enjoying her last vacation, I guess, before the school year starts. And we'll be back with us next week. I had my first experience doing sketch comedy at the Stage Door Theater in Dunwoody. This is a comedy show titled My Dead Cat Rhonda, put on by Ovations Theater. People were asking me if I was nervous. I was not nervous. I was more nervous the first time I auditioned, and then I was not learning my lines, but I have my lines all worked out. I did great, and I had a great time, and everybody on the cast did great. And it was a lot of fun. And I want to say thanks to some radios who came out. Terry and Joe Kennedy were there. It was nice. I didn't get to see them, but I know they were there. Our friend Stu was there with his special lady friend. Also, Wes was there. Jordan, Ann, Susan, Kathleen, Laura, and Eric Von Hessler and Stefan. So it was
Did you hear Eric laughing in the audience?
No, I didn't hear any laughter at all, which tells me... Nah, it was good. The actors who are in that group are a lot of fun, and I think you guys will enjoy it. This episode of Radio Labyrinth comes out the day of the final performance, so tonight. But it was cool, and I hoped I can do more with them because they're nice people, and I like the director. And she was very supportive of me learning my lines. You guys excited for Robot Chicken's 25th anniversary special? Did you see the trailer for this?
Yeah.
Got Carl in it. The Meatwad is in it. No Brack, though. I know Andy Merrill not in it. Why?
It's crazy.
Yeah. Maybe because he was complaining about Adult Swim so much, you know, not getting any money.
Yeah.
It does stink. He should be in there. That'll be cool to watch. We gotta talk to some people from the show. We can see if we can get Dave on. Dave has been really busy. Dave Willis.
Our Casper's coming next week.
Yep. We can talk to Casper on it. He's confirmed, right?
Yeah, he was. I haven't heard back from him about a screener yet, but I think we can talk to him without seeing the movie.
I would love to watch the movie before we talk to him.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool to do. Robot Chicken, though, how many seasons have they done? Is this their 25th anniversary? It's not the 25th anniversary of Adult Swim, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the 25th anniversary of Adult Swim.
I think they're just funneling it through Robot Chicken.
Did you guys watch Super Dudes?
Yeah, I watched the first one.
Yeah, I watched it in the premiere.
What did you think?
I thought it was good. The voicing was great.
Yeah, the animation's really good.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. So it's these two guys. That's my staff pick, but we might as well. Two best friends, Max and Tucker. They teach at a failing superhero academy. So it's pretty cool that they started this a long time ago, but it's keeping up with the zeitgeist. Still superheroes, you know, and shows about superheroes are still out there. They discover a map leading to the ancient source powers. They embark on a quest to restore Max's lost powers and hopefully save the academy. It's satire, fantasy, adventure. I think a little bit of RPG, right? Or are they, I don't know, is it RPG video games or like, because there's boss battles and stuff. Our friend Josh Warren is in the cast. Dan Fogler, Cooper Andrews from The Walking Dead. Dan Fogler needs no introduction, but if it does, you know, he's in Fantastic Beasts. He's been in a ton of stuff that we like. What else? Mike Bayling, and along with comedians and a bunch of voice actors from across the United States. Good music in it. The pilot premiered on the 28th. And you can watch it on YouTube. It's SOOPERDOODS. Hey, it's your former president, George W. Bush. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is a family-owned, and I love that, restaurant in Conyers. And they've been serving the East Metro since 1983. They offer the best Greek and Italian specialties made fresh to order. Open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays from 12 to 9, and of course they're closed on Sundays so you can go fishing with your family. Because I believe that the man and fish can coexist peacefully, and you should be able to put food on your family. They also got a food truck, so if you're interested in booking a food truck for a corporate or private event, please contact Mike at 770-483-6228. Thanks for listening to Radio Labyrinth and for all your continued support. Do you have commercial or residential construction printing needs? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. Let's see. Ozzy Osbourne is getting a haunted house at Universal Studios for Halloween Horror Nights. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, I hope they preserved him really well.
Yeah.
Well, no, they zombified him. It's Ozzy's Prince of Darkness is the name of it.
I was going to, I'm going to immerse you in my dark imagery, inspired by my album artwork in Gothic Stage Persona. It's what the AI wrote here. And my family work with it. The haunted house opens this fall, and you can come and watch me if you want. Yeah. Right.
I've only done that one time. I went with Jeff down there, and it was rather underwhelming, the Halloween part of it. I like going on the rides and stuff. That was fun and having a good time, but I wasn't impressed. But remember, we went through the haunted house and there were so many people in there just pushing you through. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Have you ever been back?
I've never liked the those corporate style haunted house things when they're done inside of a park of any kind. Now, the ones that are done, you know, like in a warehouse or something like that, you know, like all the radio stations used to always do promos for and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, those are cool. But yeah, they're too corporate inside those parks.
I haven't been to Netherworld since it moved to Stone Mountain. Is that any good?
Yeah, it's still the same. My kids went, what was it, last year or the year before? They really liked it, said it was scary.
And let's talk about some of these trailers that are out there now. And, you know, these are ones that we sort of cultivate ourselves. But Tyre Season 3, that looks pretty funny.
I can't believe you don't watch it. It's so funny.
It's not that I don't like it. I love the first season. I just am behind. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done a good job of keeping up. I thought they would kind of, with that first season, it was more of a test for that first season. And you know, since they've given them the second one and it's kind of keeping going, I'm surprised. And it's not trying to focus totally on Gillis either, which is nice. Yeah.
Did you see that?
About that boss guy a lot.
Yeah.
Did you see that Bert Kreischer called it Wheels?
No, did he?
Yeah, I think he and Shane don't really dig each other all that much.
No. Yeah, it's been a long ongoing thing.
Yeah. And so he sort of disrespected him and called it Wheels. And Segura knew that he was being a dick about it. I'll get caught up. It's not a difficult show to get caught up on, so I'll get caught up on it because I think Shane is very funny. And like I said, I thought the first season was funny. I'm looking forward to Lanterns. I am more interested in DC properties than I am anything that Marvel is doing right now.
He says that Spider-Man is released.
No, I have to get caught up on Spider-Man, but I just, I'm not interested at all in the Avengers movie, but this Lanterns looks really good. And HBO has done a great job with their shows. You know, just see the Penguin if you're not paying attention out there.
Yeah.
Kyle Chandler, where have I seen him before?
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Was he in that show with Sissy Spacek about the family that ran the...
No.
Okay. Okay, well, I recognize him, but he plays Hal Jordan.
He was in the first episode of the Mayor of East, Mayor of Easttown.
Yes,
he's in all the Godzilla movies.
Yeah,
and Aaron Pierre as John Stewart, and it's like a gritty detective thriller type of thing. But there's elements of humor in it, and it looks really interesting. You got Sinestro in it, which is kind of cool. And that's that guy from, what's that show, Jeff, that you liked a lot?
Oh, Banshee?
Yeah, he was on Banshee. He played the German guy on the Amish gang. I don't know what he was. Gangster? Was he a mob guy? He's Sinestro, and he looks really cool. Guy Gardner. That's Nathan Fillion.
Yeah,
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, that looks good. The Manhunters. We saw a little glimpse of them in the trailer, right? Or a Manhunter, or is that Laura Linney's character?
Yeah, I don't know.
And, of course, Laura Linney. So I think we're all probably going to watch that. Carrie, I have no interest. This is so stupid. Why another one? Is this set in the modern era?
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
It's Mike Flanagan is just trying to build out his own Stephen King universe. That he can then draw off of when he goes to do Dark Tower.
Okay. Carrie. This is like the fifth one.
Yeah, but never done by Mike Flanagan.
No.
You only need the
interpreted one. The way that he interprets King stuff.
I forget that they're building a cinematic universe for Stephen King stuff, but I'm not interested in Carrie. I just like the first movie. I don't know.
He did Life of Chuck.
Yeah.
And Dr. Sleep.
Okay. I like Dr. Sleep. Matchbox the movie. This is an Apple TV.
Yeah, you're going to take Kate Gill to go see this?
I don't have to. I can just put it on the TV. It looks a little too violent.
I mean, it's not a ridiculous premise.
Stupid as fuck. The trailer made me laugh at how stupid it looked.
The only connection they have with the actual toy is that him and his friends used to play Matchbox cars together.
Yeah.
That's it.
A CIA buddy picture. And I like John Cena. I think he's funny. I think he's an okay actor for this kind of movie. You know who else I like? Sam Richardson. I like him a lot. This ain't it. I am not going to watch this. It's stupid. But the stunt driver looks really good.
Yeah.
And that's this last trailer that I put in here. I don't even know who these actors are, but they're pulled back into a dangerous world of high speed stunts and blah, 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 blah. And it looks interesting. And
Jay Baruchel, it's his baby. So this would be his next group of movies after Goon and Goon 2.
Okay. Yeah, I'm into that. Wow. Thank you, Billy West, for not only talking about two more seasons of Futurama and what's the name of the book again, Jeff?
Voice Aversa.
Voice Aversa. I have that in my queue, so as soon as I get a new credit in Audible, I'm going to be getting it. And indulging me, because I have been a fan of his for way over 30 years now, and I love hearing the old Stern voice characters that he did and talking about stuff like that. But he has always been a hero and always somebody I looked up to, so we appreciate that. Hey, we hope you liked it too. Please leave us a comment in right down there below. And if you're not subscribed, subscribe. Please come back and join us. Let us know what you'd like to see more of, or just put your favorite Billy West character or quote in the comments. We'd love that. And if you would like to become a Patreon member, it's only $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews and sign up, and we'll get you a thank you letter and a sticker, or a couple stickers, actually. We have 3 or 4 right now. I guess that's it. So, hey, please remember to watch Futurama on August 3rd on Hulu, and keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio.
At
Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.